Hi, this is Ada Robatti, saxophone player. Please remember to follow your dream podcast with Robert Miller.
Everyone has a dream. Robert Miller is a musician who had a dream to become a rock star. He followed his dream and he succeeded. If you're ready to pursue and succeed at your dream, then listen up and get inspired and motivated to take action today. Welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast. Stuck in the slot that's hot.
I keep hearing bells all around me. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Follow Your Dream podcast with listeners in 200 countries. I'm Robert Miller, your host. My guest today is Dutch jazz singer Fay Clasen. She's been called the power woman of jazz. She's known for her sophistication, her elegance, and her sensitivity. She's released 11 albums and toured Europe and Asia, and she's won 4 Dutch Grammys. She's a regular guest with the most renowned big bands and orchestras there. And she's performed with artists like Toots Thielemann, Mike Stern, who's been on this podcast, and Paquito de Rivera, among others. And in the middle of this episode, we are going to do a song fest. I've asked Faye to give me a handful of her best works. We're going to listen to a little bit of them, talk about them. You'll get the backstories. And nobody else does this in podcasts. And you also know that I like to start off each episode at the beginning and the end with a featured song of mine. And I always try to make that song relevant somehow to my guest. And in this instance, I have chosen as my featured song my version of Joni Mitchell's cover of Charles Mingus's The Dry Cleaner from Des Moines. This is from my long-lost 1994 debut album, Miles Behind. I chose this song because, first of all, I love the song. Number two, I love Joni's version of it. And number three, Fay told me before we started this that she's a big Joni Mitchell fan. So I figure that that works. So, Fay Clasen, welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast.
Hi, Robert. I'm so happy to be your guest. Thank you.
So nice to have you on here. All right, listen, I haven't had anybody else from the Netherlands on this show. Okay. And this show, you know, it goes everywhere in the world. It's crazy. 200 countries, and we have listeners everywhere. I have been to the Netherlands myself. I've been to Amsterdam. Are you from Amsterdam originally? Did you grow up there? What's the whole scene like there?
Well, I've lived in Amsterdam for 4 years, but I come from a city called Nijmegen near Arnhem in the east of Holland. So I come from somewhere else, but Amsterdam is the coolest place I lived, actually, because it's a big city, but it's like not too big. And it's like really a very great atmosphere, I must say. So, yeah, I lived there for 4 years during the period that I was studying theater school before I started to dive into the jazz.
So you were an actress first?
Not really actress, but, you know, like to be a one-woman theater show, you know, like things like that, like talking about like jokes or about politics and stuff like that. It's more like not cabaret, but we call it like a stand-up comedian or something.
Stand-up, okay.
Yeah, although I don't have humor, so...
It's hard to be a stand-up comedian if you don't have humor.
No, but I wanted that all my life, like to go more in the direction of theater. And during the first year that I studied that, I found out that it was not what I wanted or that I could do the best. So I found out that singing was much, much more relevant for me. So I changed the studies at that moment.
I see. Well, look, you know, theater and music and singing are almost like cousins of one another, because when you're up on the stage and you're singing and performing, It's almost a form of theater, isn't it? You're relating to your audience in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also was very relieved that the music that I, at the moment that I started studying music, I was much more intertwined with the music in itself, you know, like, so it was much better for me, you know, to be inside the music. So yeah, you it depends on if you want to be more in the text and in the lyrics and in the history that you're the story that you're telling. And obviously in the beginning I was more like a musician. So for me the words were not as important as they are now, you know, like I had to grow really with it.
No, I understand completely. I started myself with only instrumental music, and I started from a jazz background as well. And I gravitated ultimately into writing vocal songs. But the whole art of writing lyrics and what lyrics represent, it's a different world from just writing the music.
Absolutely. Yeah. I started out like a musician, actually, and gained more and more over the years, like, to be really in touch with the lyrics and who I am in it, you know, like, so, you have to grow into it, or at least I did, so.
All right, explain this to me. You're growing up in the Netherlands, and you're not in Amsterdam, you're somewhere in the hinterlands, if you will, of the Netherlands. How did you get into jazz? I mean, that's such an American art form. I can't imagine that was the music that you were growing up to. So how did you discover jazz?
Yeah, I grew up more with French songs, like the that's more near our culture. And I had a boyfriend in Amsterdam, and his father was a jazz fan. So I was lucky that he introduced me to some music, like even I listened in the beginning, Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. Uh-huh. And I got to know a great singer, Deborah Brown. She was in Holland, and I heard some live recordings of her that was on the radio. And I heard that recording maybe like tons of times, like the first, like that one recording. I was listening to that for over and over, like for months. You know, like I was so crazy about her voice. She's a wonderful singer with a light, flexible sound, and like that was for me the hammer, you know, like the bomb that hit me to really change something, like a whole school, a whole study direction, you know. I found that she was at the same time musician and expressing the lyrics and doing improvisation. So I found actually for that moment everything in her singing.
I assume also that where you were growing up and when you were coming of age, you were singing in multiple languages, right? You didn't only sing in English, although I know you do record in English. How many different languages do you sing in?
Well, actually, it was mostly in English. Maybe in the beginning, because I came from the theater school, I also was singing more or less in Dutch, you know, like the Dutch theater or storytelling art form. And there's a lot also there, you know, like sometimes translations from French songs. But it's like an art form that comes also from Holland. But the music, like jazz, was basically in English, maybe sometimes a Brazilian tune, you know, or one or two French lyrics. But I was mostly singing in English.
All right. Is there an active jazz marketplace in the Netherlands?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, we have like really, I mean, I was very lucky to have great teachers as well. In Holland, we have several conservatories also at the days that I was studying, you know, like in the 90s. And we had great musicians like playing, you know, like professional musicians. There's a very lively musicianship in Holland and in Europe anyway, you know, like big scenes. like very different scenes, also very different directions, you know, like modern, completely free, but also mainstream or like fusion jazz. And you know, like I can name a lot of musicians that are great and doing also international careers and stuff. So
did you ever want to come to the United States to study, you know, like at Berkeley or New England Conservatory or Juilliard?
Yeah, well, I actually never was planning to do that, I must to be honest, because we have very good conservatories in Holland. Like we have one in The Hague, we had one in Hilversum, but I was studying in The Hague, and it's like a bebop school, kind of the bebop department.
Bebop in The Hague, huh?
Yeah, bebop in The Hague. We had actually every year workshops of Barry Harris. But it was very good, like a very good basis for me, you know, to get in touch with basic, beautiful music, you know, and from that you can go to different places yourself, you know, like and you meet your pals and you meet other kind of musicians. So for me, it's never depended only on the school that I was studying, you know, like you get a basis and you get in touch with the music anyway, you know, like, and for me to get to know Barry Harris was like, I felt like, wow, that for once you can be really close to the source for some moments, you know, like it was very special, you know, also to be able to work with musicians like Mike Stern or Paquito. It was also very exceptional, you know, to work with people like that and to be so close to the real thing.
You know, what's so interesting is that so many of the American jazz musicians basically had to go to Europe and Japan in order to make a living playing music that was developed, if you will, in the United States. The U.S. has not supported jazz nearly as well as other countries and continents have supported jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. And also, I think you gain a bit more name if you've been to America, you know, like if you come back to Europe, then they say, oh, OK, you've been in America. So it all depends, you know, where you are and where you come from, you know. So
everybody wants to make it in America.
Yeah.
I've had so many English artists on the show that talked about, you know, the shining city on the hill for them was America. Okay. All they wanted to do was make it in America.
Yeah.
And Americans, of course, they want to make it in America, but they want to go overseas too.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Robert Miller, your host. You know, one of the many benefits to me of doing this podcast is being able to collaborate musically with some of my guests who are among the best musicians in the world. My first collaboration was with the great Jim Peterik of the Ides of March and formerly with Survivor. Jim and I collaborated on The Fall of Winter, a song about a blue-collar worker who dreams of a better life. Also contributing was Elliot Randall, the renowned guitarist. John Helliwell was the amazing saxophonist in Supertramp, one of the greatest bands of the rock era. John collaborated with me on my 2023 album, Bobby M. and the Paisley Parade, and he's featured on several tracks. One of them is This Time. Tony Carey is a singer-songwriter and keyboard genius who played with Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow. Tony has collaborated with me on several recordings, including his exquisite organ playing on All of the Time. I want you all of the time. I need you all of the time. And I'm finishing up a new collaboration right now with trumpeter Randy Brecker, formerly with Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Collaborations like these make the podcast very special indeed. As always, thank you for listening and keep on rocking. Now, you got together with Ada Rovati, who has been on this podcast, who's married to Randy Brecker, the great trumpeter. Ada's a fantastic saxophonist in her own right. How did you get together with her?
Well, she asked me fairly. She emailed me if I would be open to sing a song of hers in her project. So she wrote to me, and I think she got my name over the producer that she was working with, Joachim Becker. And because Joachim Becker made several CDs with Randy and, of course, Michael Brecker, so with the WDR big band. So they had already their history together. So I think that Ada got in contact with Joachim Becker, and they talked about this project, and he said probably, you know Faye, and we could email her and stuff like that. So I remember she sent me two songs, and I was right away completely in love with a tune, Scintilla of Sonder, like Hey You. So I'm very happy that I chose that one, because I really loved singing it, really, really a lot.
Well, it fits you very well. And this is a great segue into that Songfest portion of our interview, because right now underneath us, I'm playing Hey You, Scintilla of Sonder, which is on Ada's album. But this is where you sing that song. Tell us what it was like to make that recording and to sing that.
Yeah, well, it is a very beautiful melody. It is cool. And I feel that it's very nice for a singer to sing a melody that is developing from a middle height to like really all the way up. So it's very nice, you know, to sing this song, because you can really show all your ranges. And I really also like the meaning of the words, you know, what she wants to express, that we all think of ourselves that we are the one and most important thing. And if you zoom out and you see that you are maybe not in many people's lives, you know, like you're nothing, like you're completely. And I thought it was a beautiful idea to also, you know, like to modest yourself a little bit, you know, in that sense of the in one way you are the most important for you, and in the other way you're like, yeah, like you're missing each other on millions and millions of kilometers.
Yes. You know, Ada was on the podcast, and I remember her telling me that she was a little nervous that when she was writing, I don't know if it was this song or just in general, that she writes in these different octaves, like you were just saying, and she was worried that a singer like yourself wouldn't be able to do all the jumps that she has in her music. But that's the challenge, I guess, of somebody that's writing like that.
Yeah, it's also not a very easy melodic thing. It's quite instrumental, and I love it. I love it that because it's like cool, it has a coolness, you know, but it's not the most easiest thing to sing. So, but I really it was nice. It was very nice to kind of a sportive way also. And I like to have a challenge also. So it was a good match. It was a good match of her coming with this tune and the right words on the right spots. You know, it's very important for me. It's not always only about the words, but it's important that the words have a right form or the right sound on the right note, you know. And it all fits very well. So I really love it.
Well, you did a fantastic job. Let's go to the next one. This is called Good Times, which is a live version, I believe. Really nice guitar playing in this. And it's a live version, but it sounds so well recorded, like it was recorded in a studio. Tell me a little bit about who plays guitar and tell us about this experience.
Well, this was a very beautiful invitation of a classical orchestra, and they are seated in The Hague, Residentie Orkest, and they do sometimes projects with crossover music or like known musicians in Holland, or like a pop musicians or sometimes jazz musicians. And so I was invited and I asked them if it would be all right to bring my whole band.
You know, I was knocked out by the arrangement that you had for the next song, which is Tea for Two. Okay, you start out with that scat singing, then you got that whole big band orchestration going. I think it was just a beautifully reimagined version of a classic song.
Picture me upon your knee, just tea for two and two for tea, just me for you. And you for me alone.
Tell us more about that.
Yes, well, I've been a fan of Michael Abeni's arranging for quite some time. And it's a very funny story because I met him on the conservatory in Amsterdam, where I did some summer workshop. And he came in while I was doing the workshop with the singers, and he came in like walking through the room and sat down at the piano and he started to play. And I was like, wait a minute. There's something special happening here. This is not normal playing, you know, like I heard right away, this is some other level going on. And so that's how I met him. He started to accompany the singers. And then we got to talk. And after that, he invited me to do a recording together with the WDR Big Band, because we wanted to celebrate great singers that I've been influenced by, you know. And we sat down here, actually, in the room. We sat down at the piano, and we were fooling around and trying some ideas, like, for instance, Anita O'Day. She made a lot of these very fast, you know, like these cool singing, you know, like the fast tempos and changing the keys, you know, like the key changes that are in the last theme. That is really from these old classical cool singers, you know, like I love it. It's kind of, you know, like it's cool. It's a cool way of treating a jazz standard, you know. And Michael has so many ideas, you know.
You seem to do very well in that big band setting, okay? You gave me a couple of tunes that have that big band feel. And I just think it becomes you. You know, you really do well there. Do you enjoy singing in a big band setting?
Oh, yeah, very, very much. Yeah, I love it. I mean, also, On the same album that I did with Mike Abeni, I got to also play with a full orchestra, you know, like the big band and the full orchestra. So it was like amazing, you know, like you get so lifted up. And I like to sing, yeah, like big. And with a big band, you get it also bigger, you know, like, so I love that in a way.
That's why they call you the power singer of Dutch jazz, okay?
Although I'm not so, you know, like I don't have like the real standard power voice, you know, so, but it's more like an mentality, I think, than only a power thing.
But you carry the tune, okay, even against the backdrop of that big band or big orchestra, and that takes chops to be able to do that. So you got them. All right, last one that we've got here. This is a different kind of song. This is a ballad. It's by Elvis Costello, Almost Blue.
That you promised with your eyes, I see in history. Now your eyes are red from crying. Oh,
tell us about this.
Yeah, well, I heard that on a live recording from Chet Baker, live in Tokyo. And as we were preparing a big project to record two albums with Chet Baker music, one album with only instrumental tunes with Jerry Mulligan, you know, like the quartet without piano, this idea, you know, like all these themes. And the second album had to be with all the songs that he sang. So we actually toured quite some years also in the theaters in Holland with this program, which was quite challenging because I thought, oh my God, if I sing the first half of the evening only instrumental songs, I hope the people are not walking away, you know. And it turned out to be very nice because it was a very communicative set with a baritone saxophone. Jan Menu and me were doing a lot of, you know, like improvising together and question answer elements, you know, like, so it was really nice and a nice way to do it. Like this, the Two Portraits of Chet Baker album was actually also in the critic poll in New York. It was like at some moment it was like the best vocal album. So I was kind of a little bit known with this album in America. Actually, it was quite successful. That was nice.
You're a star in America too. We have been speaking here with Faye Klaassen, who is an amazing vocalist. The Dutch power woman of jazz. I love that phrase. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you, Faye, and I want to wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. It was such a pleasure.
We're going to listen now to that song that started off the episode. It's my reimagined version of ultimately a Charlie Mingus song called The Dry Cleaner from Des Moines. I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Follow Your Dream podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast so you don't miss another inspiring episode. You can connect with Robert at robert@followyourdreampodcast.com. And you can hear more from his band at projectgrandslam.com.
They keep you reaching for your wallet here in Fool's Paradise. I talked to a cat from Des Moines. He said he ran a cleaning plant. That cat was clanking with coin. Well, he must have had a genie in a lamp. Cause every time I dropped a dime, I blew it. He kept ringing bells, nothing to it. He got three oranges, lemons, cherries. They plums, I'm losing my taste for fruit. Watching the dry cleaner do it. like Midas in a polyester suit. It's all luck, it's just luck. You get a little lucky and you make a little money. The cowgirls filled the room with their big balloons. The cleaner was pitching with purpose. He had dinos and bull bears and lions, pink and blue there. He couldn't lose there. Just love.